This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
With Wyckoff, basketball coach at Florida State. Ladies are locked and loaded for the tournament. She'll join us coming up a little bit later this hour. But right now, we're going to do a Since Dirt. We're going to do a Packer and Durham Since Dirt. This is show number 342.
Yep.
And what you're about ready to experience has never happened on our show before, because Jeff Falls has been on multiple times, 6-7 times at least. But this is the first time since Dirt we have conducted any interview on the show from a car dealership. And we go live to the Ford F-150 Center in Louisville, Kentucky. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing great. Doing great. Just sitting here at Bill Collins Ford, waiting to get my my recall completed.
So you and I were just discussing during the break. We both drive Ford F-150s, and that's a potential sponsorship opportunity for the ESPN sales department if they're watching ACC Network this morning.
That's right.
So what's wrong with the Ford F-150 before we get to hoops? What's wrong with the truck?
You know, it's just a recall that came out. I just do what I'm told. I couldn't even tell you what's wrong with it. They told me it should not take long, which is never a good thing when they tell you that. But I've only been here for about a half hour, so it's not bad.
By the way, do they have fresh croissants and fresh brewed coffee for you there at the dealership? Or are they going, no, you got to go to the snack machine?
We have eliminated the donuts because of COVID, but we still have fresh coffee.
Oh, we got that going. All right, so for 75 cents, you can get a pack of nabs while you wait on your truck, right? That's how it works.
Sure is.
You know what else? Hey, Pack, you know what else I just remembered? Katie George has been on this show several times. She also has a car endorsement of some sort in the Louisville area, the Metroplex,
It
were. Now here's Jeff Walls live from a car dealership. So apparently if we need some ACC Network automobile type promotional items, we just got to go to Louisville to get that done, or South Bend, Indiana, because as we all know, Mike Bray's done this show on a handful of occasions from his Buick.
That's it.
But that's neither here nor there, Coach. All right. Muffet McGraw said something interesting yesterday on this show. She said, sometimes, as much as you want to be the one seed, it's okay to be the two seed. Because the two seed, there's not that level of expectation. You can kind of sneak in. I know it sounds strange to say as the two, you sneak in. But you're a two seed. Are you okay with the two seed?
Yeah, we are fine with the two. You know, we were one the past few years. And the 1 year we went to the Final Four, The year after that, we got beat in the Elite Eight game. It gets to a point now where you've just got to be playing your best basketball. We've made a Final Four as a five seed, so we're not too concerned about what seed we are. Now it's just putting it all together and, you know, hopefully continuing to test with a negative result with all of our COVID tests and be at full strength come Monday night.
Coach, 10 consecutive years now you've made the dance. I know it never gets old, but maybe this year may be more appreciative than ever before, given what everybody's had to go through just to get to this point.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, it's been an amazing run here. You know, just really appreciate our administration, Vince, our trainers, our medical staff. You know, the amount of resources that were put into all sports with all of our testing is pretty remarkable. And, you know, it's all worked out to now we're able to finally get a chance to compete in the NCAA tournament.
All right. So, Jeff, here's one thing. You've got a great player. You have one of the best players in the country in Dana Evans. But you've also got a couple of young players that play integral roles on this team, Haley Van Lith and Olivia Cochran. What do you tell those young players about where this is now as opposed to just going to Greensboro for the tournament or a big regular season game? Because I was talking to Pack earlier. There's a finality to this that hits you in the face the minute you either go on the floor for practice or when you go out there to play for the first time at the NCAA tournament.
No, you're exactly right. And the crazy thing about it for us, we only have two players, Mikasa Robinson and Dana Evans, that have ever competed in an NCAA tournament wearing a Louisville jersey. So we've got a bunch of new ones. You've got Alana Smith and Kiana Smith before they transferred in from their respective colleges that did play in a tournament. But besides that, this is a first NCAA tournament for the rest of them.
I know the object is to look forward, but what do you gain by looking back at what happened against NC State? Is there any sense of chip on shoulder, or is that, listen, that's yesterday's news, we don't worry about it, off we go to the races?
Yeah, I mean, no, we've gone back and watched that game. It was a great ball game between two great teams. Came down to the end, and NC State executed. So we've actually looked at that and said, okay, hey, if we get in this situation again, which I'm sure we will in the NCAA tournament, here's what we have to improve on. Our half-court execution the last minute and a half was not where it needed to be. So we've really spent a lot of time in working on that. Our defense, I thought, was fantastic the entire day.
Jeff, when you look at these two teams, State and Louisville, I'm looking at just the way you guys have almost helped, you know, raise the boats of everybody else in this league. To me, we get eight teams in this tournament last night. You guys have got a lot of responsibility. A lot of people have been kind of chasing NC State and Louisville the last couple of years, and I think the payoff came last night in some respect.
I agree. You know, I've been saying it the entire year how good our league is, and unfortunately there have been a lot out there that did not quite agree with me as our conference season what was going on. And with getting eight teams in, I think it validates how competitive and how deep our league is. I'm excited to watch everyone play. Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Florida State, you name them. I think we can win a lot of basketball games in this NCAA tournament as a league. And I know I'm going to be watching every single one of those games, cheering them on, because as I've said, we have a very, very talented league with a lot of great coaches.
A higher expectation that we get two ACC teams in the Final Four, or your Ford truck is finished by 10 a.m.?
Oh man, it's we might get two teams in the Final Four. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. So I am keeping my fingers crossed. Although I got to give him a shout out here. You know that fob you've got, it slid off the dashboard. I tore that truck apart trying to find my key fob. So anybody that wanted to take my truck in the past month, it was easy to be done because all you had to do was open the door and press the start button, and it was going to run. And they finally found it for me. So I'll give them a little bit of time, you know, if they aren't finished, because I was about to have to buy two new key fobs, which I did not want to do.
You know, now that, hey, Jeff, well, now the truth comes out. You know, at first I thought, hey, I got something, got something in the mail. There's a recall. Now the truth comes out of what in the world's wrong with that Ford F-150.
Now the truth's out.
Yeah, that's out. Yeah. That's
here
the
we
deal.
Go. Here
but
we
listen,
go.
On a serious note, though, it really would not surprise us to see you and NC State see each other one more time. Really, I mean, these two teams are really special clubs. If we don't get that game, that'd be a bummer. But, man, if we get it again, it really wouldn't surprise me at least. I mean, I just think you're kind of destined to see each other again.
I agree with you on that. I think this is the best tournament. I think it's going to be the best NCAA tournament that we've had in the 26 years that I've been involved in women's basketball. And part of that, guys, is because of the fact every game is going to be on a neutral floor. I think you will see more top four seeds get upset this year than you've seen in the past, because you're not going to be going to someone's home court in front of 8,000 to 10,000 of their home fans. Now every ball game is on a neutral floor, which I think is great for women's basketball.
To that point, the trip there, we've heard already some of the men's teams, they get to Indianapolis, they go into this isolation for 2 days, they test. How have you talked to your team about the mental taxing on what you're getting ready to have when you go to San Antonio?
Well, we have talked about that, and I'll say our academic support staff has done a great job because our kids are already prepared academically. And I've talked to several of them that are planning to get ahead schoolwork-wise. And that's something that I've got to give a lot of respect to my players. You're going to have a lot of downtime. I mean, you're in your room unless you're practicing or eating or playing. So you might as well maximize it. And our players are planning on doing that. So I'm excited for myself. I'm taking my TRX because there's not much places to go work out or do anything. And then I'll just have to get caught up on some shows, I think.
By the way, what do you know about Marist?
You know, great program. Brian has done a wonderful job up there. Play five out. They've always had a successful team. We actually played them, I think, my third year here down in a tournament in Las Vegas, and they beat us. So I've got a lot of respect for them.
Well, you've done a great job. You know that. I mean, it's fun to watch you guys back in this spot again, Pac.
Wait a minute. I got one more question. We started from the Ford dealership. We're going to end from the Ford dealership. At what point in time do you think you will hear over the PA system there at the dealership,
Coach Jeff Walls, your Ford pickup is ready?
Because you're a celebrity in that town. I mean, do they low-key it? Does somebody come up and tap you on the shoulder? Or do they make the PA announcement,
Coach, your Ford F-150 is good to go?
How does that work?
Hey, you know what? I'm not quite sure, but I will let you all know for sure as soon as it happens, and I'm hoping it's in about the next 10 or 15 minutes.
Well, let me tell you this. First of all, I want to say there was some guy that walked behind you a moment ago who was looking into the window of the cubicle you're in talking to us on the show. There was some guy who thought that you might be delivering some sort of dissertation to someone on a phone. But the folks at Bill Collins Ford Lincoln, right there on the Bargetown Road in Louisville, ladies and gentlemen, have hosted Jeff Walls as part of Packer and Durham on a Tuesday, Pack.
And Coach, you make sure that's not a Kentucky guy working on your truck, all right? I don't want any Wildcat guy messing with a Louisville coach, right? Never, ever.
Hey. Amen on that. It wouldn't surprise me if that was the case. My oil plug's missing.
You'd be lucky to have tires. Let me tell you something. If the Kentucky guy's working on it, your truck's good. But now we need a new set of tires because we've sliced those other ones up.
Oh,
well, listen. Oh, good luck in the dance.
Unbelievable. Walls, thanks, I can't believe you went there, my man. I can't believe you went there. Hey, safe travels. Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
I tell you now, I'm just, you bet, be well. You stay with this show, folks, all you want. I'm telling you now, you can watch Packer and Durham a long time, but what do I say, Pack? You miss it a little sometimes, you miss a lot, don't you?
Hey, if you think this stuff's scripted, you guys haven't figured it out by now. We are just absolutely rolling with it. However it shows up, so be it. That's the way we do it.
All right. When we come back on this show, Brooke Wyckoff, by the way, at 9:30, does Syracuse have another Cinderella run in them? Clearly, Macri has moved this topic into the power hour.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, always good to see Malachi Richardson, isn't it? O'Shea Brissett. Oh, boy, that's a bad day for Virginia right there with Tyler Lydon. Sit tight. We're coming back talking about the Orange on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Still no confirmation that Coach Wall's Ford F-150 is complete yet, but we'll keep you abreast of that as we go along till 10 a.m. this morning. 844-SAY-ACCN.
If we were the old, you know what, if this were old morning radio in the 70s and 80s, we'd do like a live phoner and call the dealership and ask them to page Coach Walls, wouldn't we? Or something like that, you know, that his car is ready.
If you don't think I didn't think of that during the break, you're out of your mind. You know it. There is. if we weren't on such a tight regimen on television, believe me, if this was the Central on radio,
oh, we would
there. That would be a go.
We would have done that.
Spot on. Yep. Here we go.
That would have been a go.
All right, the voice of victory you just heard during the True and False segment, brought to you by Dish and Syracuse. Here we go again. We've kind of seen this movie before. Double digit number beside the Cuse. Watch out. You just never know with Jim Boeheim's guys when they get in this situation.
And guess who old BPI likes this week, Pack? Yes, that's right. BPI is leaning toward the orange. Of course, you know Syracuse has done this before. They did it in 2016. Came back in the Elite Eight to beat Virginia. In Chicago to go to Houston for the Final Four. They had a run to the second weekend in 2018. And the old BPI, 40% chance to upset San Diego State. Best chance of any school to beat a team five seeds above.
We might need to fast forward this to our buddies over there at the SEC Network, because yesterday Mr. Feinbaum said that nobody wanted to watch Jim Boeheim because they always choke. Well, you know, you might want to do a little homework. The guy has won a national championship. He's been to Final Fours, and he gets in the comfort zone when you get a situation like this. So doing a little homework might help you in terms of understanding how basketball is played. Syracuse, I think, is completely comfortable in this role. And here's the best thing. They're playing their best basketball of the year. I pointed this out yesterday.
Yeah.
They beat North Carolina and Clemson to put themselves in a position to have that conversation about the bubble the week of the ACC tournament. What they do? They destroyed NC State. That game wasn't competitive, and they pushed Virginia to the brink. I think with the way Buddy Boeheim is shooting the basketball, they're healthy for the most part. I think that they've got a good frame of mind going into San Diego State. And again, no guarantee they win the game. You heard what BPI's got to say. But don't be surprised if Syracuse gives you another one of those fake left go rights that, hey, once they're in the tournament, anything can happen. They've proven they can do this before. They've done it.
Well, and that's why we did the unsung hero piece, too, with Alan Griffin you talked about. I talk about Kadari Richmond. Marek Dolezal is going to be a handful because you got to defend him all over the floor because he contributes to both ends, really, but certainly at the offensive end, a much better passer than people realize. I think Syracuse has a heck of a chance, not only to win one, but maybe another one behind that. It is interesting, the whole double-digit seed to the Sweet 16 thing, the two most favored teams, at least early on, are both ACC schools. Syracuse, potentially, at about 21% to reach the Sweet 16, and right behind them, a couple points back, is Virginia Tech. I mean, here again, two teams that because of the way they play, the style of play, hard to prep on short notice, right? Let's be honest. You play Virginia Tech. If you're Ohio State, you only got about a day to figure out what Virginia Tech does. Good luck. Now, Ohio State's going to have a preset scouting report set up, but the idea of playing the orange and playing that defense, if you're West Virginia or Morehead State, that's another deal altogether too now.
And Wes, I think this too, if you followed college basketball this year in particular, the difference between being a 6 seed and an 11 seed is microscopic.
Right.
I mean, they're almost interchangeable. 6 to 11, 7 to a 10, 8 to a 9.
Right.
If you flip-flopped them, I think people would be like, well, okay. I mean, if Syracuse was the 6 and San Diego State was the 11, you'd go, okay, you know what? You know, Syracuse is going to play tougher competition, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, whatever. I mean, once you're in, you're in. But I just don't think there's a whole lot of difference between a 6 and 11 seed in this tournament. And I know we can go through history and break down the numbers and all that stuff, and which is all fine and good. But I think this year in college hoops, I mean, we know the top four seeds. I mean, the one line, those four teams are outstanding. Michigan, Illinois, Baylor, Gonzaga. Nobody's going to argue with that at all. Those are terrific teams. But once you get past like 3 and 4 and 5, all of a sudden it's kind of like, hey, on a given night, anybody can beat anybody. And 6 through 11, to me, put them all in a hat and pick them out. And It is what it is. Whoever shoots and plays the best going to win in advance. So I think if you're Syracuse, you like your spot. See where it goes. You're playing your best basketball. Let's see what happens.
Do you think that Boeheim's just comfortable with the routine of this? And that's why they've been successful, Pac?
I do. You know, we gave you the stat. He's the only coach in the history. We're really the only coach since Dirt. Going to be in six different decades of the NCAA tournament. The guy has won a national championship. He's taken teams to the Final Four. Doesn't matter what the number is beside their name. They have, you know, they've lived on the edge of being a bubble conversation team for how many years in a row? It seems like every year we get to March 1st, and guess who's on the bubble? It's Syracuse. Some years you think they're out, they make it. Yep. Sometimes you think they're in, they don't get in. I mean, that's just the way it is. I think they're completely comfortable in their skin and an 11. I really do. I think they're like, okay, good, we're in. Let's go.
Let's check in Paul in New York with Packer and Durham. Paul, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
We're good.
We're well, thank you.
Well, I'm just want to let you know that I'm a big Syracuse fan, and as I said, and as you said, if they come out playing the way they're supposed to, and everybody connects on everything, and they don't mess up, and they play their game. Yep, they got a good chance of beating this team, and moving on. And I'm going to predict they're going to win, and they're going to move on, and they will be in the Sweet 16, hopefully. The Final Four, guys.
Appreciate the phone call. Good luck to you guys. The Orange moving forward. You know, Buddy Boeheim has to continue to shoot lights out. He was fantastic in Greensboro at the ACC tournament. We just went through a list of the unsung heroes and mentioned to you, I think there's a number of guys on Syracuse's team that have the capability of getting hot and being humongous contributors. That's got to happen. I mean, if you don't get that, I don't think Buddy Boeheim can just say, hey, listen, get on my back and let's go. But I think the cool thing about this team is they've got guys with potential that can get hot. And, you know, that's all you want's a chance. And when you got a guy like Buddy Boeheim that right now is just lighting it up and feels like he could go for 25 or 30 every time against anybody, regardless of venue, I'm just telling you, you got a shot. And that guy coaching, you know what? He's been down this road before. He knows what to do.
Yep. That's the other part. His comfort level is really high. Hitting shots, critical piece. But see, that's the thing with Syracuse and to a degree with Virginia Tech. You can see the path, right? You can see the path if you get the round one win. Because why? Well, okay, let's assume West Virginia beats Morehead State in a 3-14 game. West Virginia's really good. Don't get me wrong. That's a good team out of pack, and you know this because we've talked about it on and off. That's a good league this year, the Big 12, right? And the Mountaineers are
excellent.
Yeah. But that's a short prep. Now, Bob Huggins has played Syracuse before and understands it, but, you know, delivering the message and executing the message are a couple different things. Same for Virginia Tech in the 10-7 against Florida. Then you turn around and play Ohio State. How's Ohio State going to play on those? I mean, that's a whole different gear shift for them. And Chris Holtmann will have to really engage his team. Not that they can't win it, but it's not as easy. It's not as simplistic as some second-round games often are. So I'm looking forward to watching Syracuse. I thought they got a lot of momentum last week. I thought they did some really good things in Greensboro, and I'm glad they got in the tournament. I think it would have been a shame not to see them in the NCAA tournament this week, Pac.
Well, I thought you posed a great question last week, and we were talking about how many teams from the ACC were going to make it. We thought 8 would be the number. Turned out to be 7.
Right.
You asked a question last week, and you were spot on. Are you more concerned about Syracuse making it or Louisville? And I think we both said Louisville.
Right.
Because I thought it kind of Syracuse had played enough games, et cetera, et cetera. And I still thought they were both get in. But I said to you yesterday, when I saw Virginia Tech as a 10 seed, when those pairings came out, I immediately thought, yikes, that's trouble for Syracuse and Louisville if you're going to tell me Virginia Tech's a 10. Because I thought the Hokies we should have been single digit for sure, 7, 8, 9. I didn't think they'd be a double digit team from a seeding standpoint. But the good news is at least Syracuse made it. Unfortunately for Louisville, they're kind of hoping for a phone call between now and 6 p.m. So Who knows, man? All you got to do is get a chance to play, and that's what Syracuse has. But I think they've got upside to potentially cause some and make some noise and make life uncomfortable for some teams in the tournament. So we'll see.
All right. Sit tight. Final half hour of Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. When we return, Brooke Wyckoff went to the NCAA tournament as a player with Florida State. Now in her year as head coach, is taking the Noles there too. Had to be a nice night last night. Probably a little emotional as well. We'll talk to Brooke Wyckoff when she rejoins us on Packer and Durham next.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, a Tuesday. Power Hour continues. No update yet. Jeff Ball is still waiting on his Ford F-150, but while the Louisville women's basketball coach gets stuck in the Ford dealership, one ACC women's coach is hard at work in the office, and that would go down to Tallahassee, where Brooke Wyckoff is excited because the Noles have punched their ticket again. Brooke, first of all, ¿cómo está?
Muy bien. Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. I know that life is good because, you know what? That had to feel awesome. Year one, given how crazy this year is, and for you, your staff, and your team to see Florida State in the NCAA tournament. That's why you work so hard, right? Now, it had to be great last night.
It was. It was just an amazing feeling. It always is, obviously, to hear your name called and no matter what the year is. But this year, especially, as we've all talked about so much, just to know what we've been through to get to this point and to be one of those 64 teams was a really special moment.
Okay. The emotions kind of run the spectrum, though, don't they? I mean, you're thrilled, you're nervous, there's anxiety about it. Yesterday's got to be a little all over the map. So how'd you talk to your team yesterday? What was kind of the message going up to last night? Hey, look, we feel really good about where we are, but, you have to measure it?
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's different for every team just based on who they are and what they're capable of and the expectations of that year. And I just feel like this team has had so much potential, but nobody really knew what we could do. We were picked eighth at the beginning of the season in the ACC. We finished fourth. So really, my approach to it all was just to say, wow, you guys have, climbed a mountain to get where you are. You've defied expectations. Now it's time to have fun. Now it's time to go and just make some noise. Anything can happen. There's no pressure on us. And I've been on parts of teams and staffs where there is pressure. You want that great seed and you got to go win a couple games. But we can go in just enjoying the moment, working our tails off to see what we can do, play some great basketball. And it's March Madness. Anything can happen.
Coach, I get a sense that from the Women's Selection Committee last night, the ACC got a great deal of respect, right? Eight teams in, more than anybody else. Kind of consistent with what the dialogue has been all season long, whether we're talking to you or Jeff Walls or anybody else, that the league was really, really good at the top with two great teams, with Louisville and Florida State. I mean, Louisville and NC State, and everybody else is chasing. But it was also the quality depth, right? And you mentioned your team, and to see a team like Wake Forest get a bid for the first time since 88 is a great story. But really, the selection committee kind of confirmed what we've been discussing all year, and that this league in particular, strong at the top, and really, really quality depth.
Yeah, it was great to see that the committee respecting and giving us that respect of putting eight teams in the tournament because, I call it the gauntlet of the ACC. I mean, it doesn't matter where a team falls in the standings in this league right now. It's going to be a battle. It's going to, any team really has the potential, as we saw this year, this season. I mean, teams were, we were all beating each other at times. And so, it really is. I'm so glad for teams like Wake Forest and North Carolina and obviously congratulations to Louisville and NC State for the recognition they got with those great seeds. I mean, it really is a great league, and it gets you prepared for this time of year. I mean, when you're used to playing this caliber of team twice, three times a week, you're ready pretty much for anyone in the country.
All right, so that's kind of where I was going to go here. The preparation aspect of this always gets a little tricky. Now you add in the isolation and all those things. It was funny, we had Michael DeVoe from Georgia Tech yesterday who said they were already in isolation in Indianapolis. The women's event's a little different because you actually start out that testing protocol, like in your case, Tallahassee, then you carry it on to Texas. So what is that like? How much do you have to draw that line between that part of this and, oh, by the way, we're here to play and win games too?
Yeah, it's been really interesting because it's all unknown. You know, we're, the NCAA has done a great job of giving us some guidelines and trying to prepare us along the way over the last few months and weeks. But it's just all words on paper in terms of this is what it's going to be like. We don't know until we actually get there how it's going to feel. And that's something that's new for all of us. So we've done our best to just let our players know this is what we think it'll be like. This is what we're preparing you for. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have things lined up. I know Coach Walls said his kids were going to have time to get ahead academically. We'll definitely be doing that too. But we've got to fill time as well, just to kind of keeping their minds free and loose and not just in the isolation of the four walls of a hotel room, Zoom workouts, things like that. It'll be interesting what we come up with.
What do you know about Oregon State?
They're a great basketball team, man. they're a great basketball team. Number one three-point shooting team in the country, percentage-wise. Big, long. Oh, wow. They're talented at all five positions, have great talent coming off the bench. And so, you know, we're familiar with them. We've played them once in the last few years in the, we played them in Sweet 16, in 2017. Mm. And have been, in there. We almost would have played them. We would have played them in the Elite Eight a couple years after that. So, you know, tons of respect for their program. We're really, really excited to get out there and have such a great matchup right off the bat. And a great, it's just a different challenge than what we've seen so far.
All right. I want to ask you about, we oftentimes see the reactions. do you worry about cameras being in there when your team finds out they're going to the tournament?
We have a rule. I mean, this is just no matter what your opinion, because everybody has thoughts right when your name is called, you know, I mean, and it's yay relief that your name is called. But then you're thinking, OK, my opponent, who we've got in the next round with it, you know, it's like our rule is no matter what, you are excited. We are pumped, you know, and we react and then we go through all the emotions of it later. But that was true excitement. These young ladies here that you see, I mean, they're just such a great bunch. They just roll with it and have fun no matter. So we were truly excited and got some confetti, like we'd already won a game almost. Like, wow, there's confetti. Cool.
You know what? Every day should be like that, Sue, right? I mean, confetti should fall from everybody every single day. Make life so much better. By the way, have you had a chance to touch base with Sue? Did you talk to her at all?
Absolutely. We're in touch a lot, and she was great. She was watching the live stream that we had going, and we talked afterwards, and you know, she's just like, wow. She's so excited. And the biggest thing for me is that she has been the one that set the standard here for the last 25 years of this is who we are going to the tournament. This is what Florida State basketball does, is go to the tournament. And so to be able to continue that legacy in her absence and to uphold that standard was a huge deal for me and this team. And so it was a fun conversation afterwards with her.
I just want to follow up real quick, Wes.
I got to tell you.
I'll just say something real quick. You know, Wes asked you the question about the cameras being on. I will tell you, down here in the basement, ESPN built this studio that's got four cameras in here. And I always take the dogs out because I don't sleep. I seldom sleep. So I always take the dogs out like at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I come walking through here. Wow. This is how I take them out. So Brooke, for God knows, for the first 2 months, I had to remind myself, oh, God, I can't walk through here how I'm normally dressed at 2:30 in the morning because there's going to be some poor soul back in Bristol who's manning all these cameras that's going to see some fat dude with two dogs walking through at 2:30 in the morning. Be careful. Well, again, your camera is always on. Brooke, it's always on. So you got to be careful.
Always. That's a great lesson.
You learn one quickly, for sure.
Brooke, you have to be terribly disappointed that Jeff Walls came to us live this morning from the showroom of a Ford dealership in Louisville, Kentucky, and you were only able to muster up an appearance from your office. You have to be incredibly disappointed about that.
I know. Well, I moved from my office to this is Coach Sue's office. I had to up the ante a little bit. Like after I saw him at the dealership, I said, I got to do something. Yeah, that's him. Jeff is awesome. It's always so fun to hear him talk. And I was really entertained by that this morning. So thanks. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, so were we.
By the way, from a personal standpoint, we were kidding around with you before you came on the show. Your fiance's in Spain. So did you have a chance to celebrate? I know we got about a 6 or 7 hour difference time-wise, and given the COVID world that we're all living in here, isolation has never been more defined than somebody getting engaged, and all of a sudden, he's in Spain, you're in Florida. So have you been able to at least converse and have a celebratory Zoom conversation given the news last night?
Yep, absolutely. He's not on Facebook or anything, so he could, and obviously he doesn't have ESPN over there, so he had no idea, and by the time I was able to call him, it was probably 4 a.m, and he just answered, he's like, what'd we get? Who we got? What seat are we? Okay. That was it. So
I love it.
Nothing like that strong burst of encouragement to send you on to Texas, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, there you thanks. Go. Good night.
Yeah. Well, listen, congratulations again to you and the staff and the players and really the league. Quite frankly, 8 teams in, more than anybody else in college basketball. And this thing's going to get started Sunday and Monday, and let the madness begin. It's going to be some kind of journey. Already has been.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. It was great seeing you guys.
Best of luck.
You too, Brooke. Wyckoff is coaching Florida State this year in the absence of Sue Semerow, who's been in the Pacific Northwest with her mom, who's ailing, and we certainly continue to send our best to Coach Semerow as well with her mom and dad out in the Northwest. Don't forget, we got women's lacrosse for you here on ACC Network. We got it all week long, but today at noon, number 12 Duke, number 9 Virginia comes your way from Klockner Stadium right here on ACC Network and on the ESPN app. This is the second of 2 matchups, by the way. They'll also be playing Friday night at 7 Eastern as well. So there you go. That's where we are. Amazing. You good with that?
Amazing story, though, for Brooke. I mean, for her personally. I mean, you know, fiance's in Spain.
Yep.
Nobody can get anywhere from that perspective. You got Sue's situation that you discussed. She takes over. And the ladies play great, and they're in the dance. I mean, these coaches, I'm telling you, there's going to be an outbreak of coaches writing their stories during this COVID year. That will be phenomenal. There's so many amazing stories of just figuring out a way to get through the highs and the lows and the journey of getting to the finish line. That's true for football, basketball, any sport, from that matters. But Brooke's a great story. Really is.
Yep, and delightful to talk to. We appreciate her time. When we come back, we will close the show. North Carolina has accomplished something that is absolutely insane in terms of number one teams in the country. And Joseph Freeman said we'd never talk about this.
He's wrong.
Was he in for a surprise? And Jordan Cornett got in a cocktail sauce last night. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Final segment of a fun Tuesday show. 844-SAY-ACCN. I would give you that number, but, you know, it's quite frankly, we've run out of time. You blew your chance. You had 2 hours and 45 minutes to get on board, so we're not going to take your calls now. So there you go. Wes, we have a stat for the ages right here.
Let's go. Let's this go with a, the stat. Let's do what. Let's do the BP Ives.
Yeah, Brian P. Yeah. Ives. He threw this one out on Twitter yesterday, and I was like, "Wow, that is incredible!" And you don't see this very often. But look at this. Look at this little stat right here. North Carolina teams currently ranked number one in the country. Men's lacrosse, women's lacrosse, men's tennis, women's tennis, and field hockey. Is that any good?
Yeah. Oh, I'd say it's really good. I don't know that that's happened before. I'm sure it has, right? But I can't recall anything like that off the top, right? I mean, five schools at the same time.
Five sports.
Or five different teams at the same school, number one. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what. Bubba Cunningham may have to come off the hip on that one now. You got five coaches ranked number one. It's probably a good thing that Roy and Wanda came off the hip for $3 million with that old Roy donut deal he got from Dunkin' Donuts. Because I tell you what, those coaches are getting it done. Deal. You got five different sports currently ranked number one in the country. I mean, that's impressive. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
That's strong.
So, yep. Five sports, men's lacrosse, women's tennis, field hockey, all number one. It's crazy. By the way, NC State's cross-country team, number two in the country in the latest rankings as well.
The championships are going on yesterday. So there you go. Championships are going on yesterday.
That's right.
And there was a time NC State was number one, was in the lead, going it all, but finishing number two, pretty impressive. By the way, what kind of
absolutely?
Hey, whoa.
Yeah,
I didn't see the highlights of it, but what kind of golf cart do you think they got for that bad boy for the NCAA championships cross?
Because NCAA,
we didn't even get into that with Jim Phillips, right, Commissioner Phillips, last week. But we'll have to have a sit down with him. Here's some highlights.
Oh,
there we go.
Seems a little early to get into the golf cart situation.
No, I don't think so. We need to make sure that Commissioner Phillips understands that we're locked and loaded for the golf cart for the ACC championships this fall.
That's you and Swofford, right?
Yeah, Swofford wants to
ride
shotgun.
That's you and Swofford getting after that?
Yeah, if the Commissioner Phillips wants to join in, we got more the merrier. Let's go. Bigger golf cart, we can make it work.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Got all sorts of plans, don't you? You got all sorts of plans, don't you?
I got plans for that.
I'm an idea guy.
I am. And Dan Radakovich, gave him a little something to think about last week when he was on with us. I want to get on that crew team down there at Clemson. I want to get on that boat on Lake Hartwell. I will bring a cooler to balance things out. I think I can fit on that thing. Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Could be trouble.
Yeah, could be real trouble. Let me tell you what else is real trouble. Last night on the Tournament Challenge Marathon, Jordan Cornette got into the St. Elmo's cocktail sauce last night with Sean Farnham and Dallin Cuff.
Watch out.
Roll the video.
Oh, no. No.
So I'm going to take a swig of water first.
Oh, he's going water first?
Oh,
so
no.
Cleanse the palate?
Notre Dame soft.
All right, here we go. I hate spicy.
Oh, wow, you went. Okay.
I hate spicy food.
Be aggressive.
The initial shot will get you.
Oh, do you get the initial waft?
That's tough.
Oh, man.
You gonna get it down? You look good.
Ooh, okay. This is such a good look for television.
Hey. Hey, what was Jared Dallin Cuff? Dallin Cuff, like, helping for the television. All right, you're going to get that down?
Oh.
Sean Farnham. All right, Sean Farnham's over there laughing, my man Farnham. Cornette shoves the shrimp in his mouth by going, "I really don't like spices."
Let me tell you something. In honor of St. Patty's Day, Jordan Cornette turns green on television, thinking, let me tell you something. That St. Elmo's place in Indianapolis, I told you this story a while ago.
It's a real deal.
With Dave Revson, who's a great dude, who's on the Big Ten Network, was with ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And we had dinner one night at St. Elmo's. I'd never been. I'd heard about it, and that cocktail sauce there is supposed to be legendary. And I'm not a big fan of seafood, but I will eat shrimp cocktail. And so I dipped it in there, and Revson looked at me and went, "Pack, hey, big man. no, 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 don't do that. I said, oh, I love shrimp cocktail. He said, Pack, be careful. And I took a bite, and I'm telling you, I did turn lime green. It is, I thought my head was going to explode. I really did. My it was so hot, my eyeballs sweated. That's how hot it was. I'm telling you, it was like
eyeballs sweated.
Oh my God. I thought I was going to die. So when I saw Jordan do that, I'm like, yeah, dude. And he barely had anything on there. It will get you. Yep. It is powerful.
Yeah, it will.
Powerful. But it's
no
great.
Question.
So great.
Yep. And that was fun to watch. And Jordan, I hope you're okay, my man. We look forward to having you on the show this week at some point. Maybe just give us a thought or two before we dig in.
Yeah, if you're not careful, it 24 hours, you'll probably need about a day to get over it if you don't do it right.
Yeah. Thanks to David Teal, Earl Grant, Jeff Walls, who was presented by Bill Collins, Ford Lincoln on Bardstown Road in Louisville today.
That's so good.
And Brooke Wyckoff for being on this show. Tomorrow on this program, Todd Stansberry, the athletics director at Georgia Tech, got both his men's and women's team in the NCAA tournaments. And we will talk to him about a little bit of a ride. What a great move to bring Nell Fortner in as a basketball coach, Pack, on the women's side. And Todd has seen Josh Pastner take the thing full circle on the men's side with last Saturday night's ACC title. So look forward to visiting with Todd Stansberry tomorrow on this program. Yep.
Yes, sir. Time to hang the banner in the ATL. Look, good times in Atlanta.
Look, be on the lookout today. Virginia has to give the NCAA committee the notice at 6 o'clock, right, Pac?
Yep.
If they can make it.
It's a deadline.
And
for everybody.
That'll be
– for everybody.
That'll be – yep, for everybody. Yeah, that's right. But Virginia in particular on the ACC side is who we're going to pay attention to, and we'll have more coverage for you tomorrow. Thanks to Andrew Brooks, Josh Macri. Meg Drobniak directs this show. She's going to get a plate of ribs before she goes and has a swim later today.
A little queso. A little queso dip and we'll jump in the pool. Let's let it rip.
A little queso and then the ribs and then the swim. We'll see you in the morning at 7 a.m. right here on ACC Network. Have a great day, everybody. Be safe.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.